You guys made a good choice to be in the presence of God tonight. I just wanted to congratulate you for that. You are at the right place at the right time. And God is pouring out his blessing. And we just want to receive whatever God has for us tonight. And I feel that what he has for us tonight is to be more in his presence. So I'm going to keep my message short so that we can get back in his presence. But it doesn't mean that because we're preaching that it's devoid of the presence of God. We ask that God's presence come on me and on the congregation as we go forward in Jesus' name. I want to talk to you tonight about identity. I want to talk about what it's like to be in an identity crisis. I think a lot of us oftentimes find ourselves in an identity crisis. Sometimes as a community. Sometimes we find ourselves in an identity crisis as a family. Sometimes we're in an identity crisis as a nation. And God, I mean, look at our country and trying to solve and figure out who we are as a country, as a people. The world seems to be in a constant identity crisis. The word for tonight is from Matthew chapter 16, and I'm going to read from verse 13. It's a very well-known passage of Scripture, very familiar to all of you. It's the classic question, who do people say that I am? Jesus was asking the disciples. Matthew 16, verse 13. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? And they said, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter replied, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jona, for flesh and blood have not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Amen. Amen. Who do people say that I am? We live in a time of identity theft. And the greatest identity theft is not financial nor in cybersecurity, but it's spiritual. The greatest identity theft is a spiritual identity theft. When a country loses its identity, it no longer knows where it came from, where it's going, what its worth is, so it dissolves. You know, when a family loses identity, everything crumbles. The family, the house itself becomes in disarray. The finances are lost. The children are running around in their different direction. Soon comes health problems and other things. When you lose your identity, you lose your purpose in life. But I'm here tonight to tell you that you were created on purpose. You were formed, fashioned, and knit together by a master craftsman. Not by some arbitrary cosmic explosion. Psalm 139 says, for you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Praise God for that. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. You are not an accident, no matter what they say. You're not an incident that happened somewhere in the middle of winter in Romania or something between two people. You're not an incident, planned or unplanned. You're not a mistake. You're not just the mere mixing together of DNA. Just think about this for a second, how unique each of you are. Nowhere on this planet before, now, or after you, will there ever be a person that will be just like you? Never in the history of mankind, a person that's just like you. You know, to see how God crafted you, in how he designed you, you were designed. Think about your iris for a second. Every iris is unique to a person. Your ears are unique to you. But they've developed technology now where they can scan you by your iris and identify you immediately. Right? The fingerprints. Your iris, this tiny textural patterns with pits and swirls and rifts that during development came to be. Not even your two irises are unique, are the same. They're unique. Your hands have made me and fashioned me, says Job chapter 10, verse 8. You were designed by God. You were allowed access into this life by the very nod of the Creator. God spoke you into being. God said the word, and the word became flesh. Think about that for a second. He spoke you into being. He said your name, and you came into being. He knew your name even before your mother and father gave you the name, speaking you into life and into being, and fashioning you. Wonderful, right? In fact, God considers you his masterpiece. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. You are specifically and strategically planned in this time. This is not an accident that you were born in the family that you were born in. It's not an accident that you were born in a Romanian community. It's not an accident that you speak the language. You come to Emmanuel Church. Nothing was incidental, right? You were strategically placed in this time, strategically placed in your family, with the gender you have, with the ethnicity that you have, with the way you look. There is no amount of money on earth that can buy purpose and identity. You know, rich people look for it all the time, and they pay a lot of money for it to find purpose. Purpose is priceless. Lack of purpose is costly. The fool says in his heart, the Bible says, what does the fool say in his heart? There is no God. The fool says there is no God. Essentially, what the fool is saying is that there is no purpose. There is no purpose. So there is a direct relationship between how we feel about Jesus and how we see ourselves, how we see our purpose. We cannot increase our devotion to Jesus without obtaining a greater sense of purpose, a greater sense of identity, and a greater sense of conviction. Think about it. If the created is without the creator, what assigns value to the created? Who gives you your value? If you say there is no God, where is your value coming from? Your own worth and the image of the creator. When you begin to realize that you were made in God's image, you will stop comparing yourself to other people. And you will stop allowing yourself to be assigned the value by others. Once you realize that you were created on purpose, that you're not an accident, that you were created in the image of the Creator, you begin to realize that there are secrets that are inside you. Secrets that he placed there. The beauty of the journey with God is that you begin to discover the secrets that God put inside you. Secret talents. Secret gifts, secret wisdom that had been divinely put there by God Imagine the potential that a life can have knowing their true identity in Christ, or the value of what God has given into you. Imagine the blessing that you could be to others. There's this wonderful story, maybe of you, some of you have read it online recently that's making headlines. It's a positive story. There are many things making headlines. But this one has just touched my heart. It's about a young man by the name of Jordan Taylor, who in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, one day an autistic boy walked into his store where Jordan was shelving milk and orange juice. And I want to show you this little video here about what happened then. And think about what motivated Jordan to do what he did. So if you want to play the video, there's always sound problems. Tonight was the night of sound issues.
We knew we had to share it, the kindness that did not go unanswered.
You are watching a simple act of kindness.
But another one.
Rouse's supermarket employee, Jordan Taylor, right there on the left, allowing a young customer who seemed interested in his job to help him stock the store's refrigerator.
You're so good, man. I appreciate that.
That customer, 17-year-old Jack Ryan Edwards from Baton Rouge, he has autism and he's nonverbal. Jack's father, Sid, capturing the moment on his cell phone, and you can hear how moved he is by the kindness shown to his son.
I'm watching a miracle in action.
I'm watching a miracle, he says, his son interacting with that young worker.
He's an autistic child.
He would help him for 30 minutes. Jack Ryan's family was so grateful, his sister first sharing the kind deed on Facebook. Talk about a stand-up young man, she writes, applauding the grocery store worker, Jordan, for being kind to her brother. And then, kindness shown to Jordan, the worker. A GoFundMe page set up to help send him to college, already raising more than $50,000 tonight.
Hi.
Today, the family sending us a message.
And this is my baby brother, Jack Ryan Edwards. Jack, you want to look at Cody? Look at brother.
Tonight, they want to thank everyone who reached out about their brother.
For my family to watch the video. And to see him having an accomplishment and doing something that might mean nothing to other people. You know, other 17-year-olds, you get excited when they get a date to the prom. So for us, this was his shining moment. This was, you know, this was Jack Ryan's prom. This was his big day.
Today, Jack was back at that store. He's now been offered a part-time job. As the community also reaches out to help Jordan, the worker, too, whose act of kindness in that moment spread faster than anyone could have imagined.
There are Jacks and Jordans in every part of this country. I'm David York. Right. Thanks for watching.
Thank you. So when they asked Jordan why he did what he did, he had a very simple answer, but very powerful. You know, Jordan actually is a born-again Christian. But his answer was so powerful. He said, that was me. That was me being me. It was just me being me, right? It was my identity. It's part of who I am. I wanted to show you that the GoFundMe page for Jordan Taylor, where it's at right now. You know, you saw it in the clip that they were raising or $75,000 to take him to college. It's now at $133,000. His ride to school, this kid who didn't have enough money to go to college. Why? Because when you know your identity in Christ, when you know who you are, you know what to do when you're presented with the opportunity, right? And then the blessing comes to you. And then blessing follows that. We don't do it for the blessing, right? We do it because we know who we are. That was just me being me, right? So next time someone asks you, you know, why you did something, it's you being you. It's you being you. But when are you going to start being you is the question tonight. When? We often live defined by others, and I think that's one of the biggest problems. I'm going to talk about two problems and then one solution very quickly, and then we're going to go to pray. We're defined by others. We let other people define us. We let other people give us value, our friends, our families, our what other people say about us, right? Something in someone else causes you to reject and neglect the very unique purpose that's within you. You see someone doing something greater. God, I wish I could be like this person. I wish I could be as tall as him, as pretty as her. I wish I could have a voice like that. And because you look at other people and you want to be what they are, you neglect what is unique and special about you. Amen? You cannot make a difference in the world sitting off in a dark corner somewhere wishing that you were someone else. Stop wanting to be somebody else. The deepest fear we have, the fear of all fears is the fear of not measuring up. The fear of judgment. It's the fear that creates the stress and the depression of everyday life. Well, I've got news for you, brother and sister. You are not going to measure up. You're not going to measure up to your husband. You're not going to measure up to your wife. You're going to disappoint them. You're going to disappoint your parents. You're going to disappoint your friends. And you will be disappointed by parents and friends and by lovers and by friends and husbands and wives and children. You're not going to measure up. That's their biggest fear, though. And we want to be somebody else. And sometimes we try to mold ourselves after what other people are telling us that we should be. That happens sometimes in churches, too. We want to be a different church. And we start looking around and looking, who should we follow? What church should we be like? Remember that this church, in this unique part of Anaheim, was created with a purpose. It's good for us to remember what that purpose was from time to time and to remind ourselves why we're here. Amen? The other thing you need to know is that you have everything you need to fulfill your purpose. God already gave you what you need. If God needed you to be tall, he would have made you tall. If he wanted you to play in the NBA, you would have been 7 foot tall. So don't be upset if you can't play in the NBA. Don't let that ruin your life. If he needed you to be better looking because he had a specific purpose for that, he would have made you better looking. You're beautiful as you are. If he needed you to have a nice voice to sing, he would have given you a nice voice to sing. Just remember, your design is directly connected to your purpose. You were given exactly the design you need. What is your brand? What is your unique brand? You know, we copy each other and we create new identities for ourselves on Facebook, on Instagram. We want to look better. We want to look good to the world, right? And we create an image about ourselves. But is that really who we are? If we embraced who really God made us and stopped questioning God, why did you make me this way? Why did you put me in that family? Why? Elias, he's not here, so he's not going to get upset that I preach about him tonight. Whenever he gets really mad, really mad, he says these words that every kid says but doesn't realize what they're saying. Is, I wish I was in a different family. That's the worst thing that, right, the kid could say, right? I wish I had different. If I had different parents, if Mike and Amelia was my dad, my mom, it would have been so nice and good. They have a really nice car. That's the kids, right? Their mentality. Stop wanting to be someone else. Who are you, human being, to talk back to God? Romans 9:10 9:20, Paul says, "Who are you, a human being, to talk back to God? Shall what is formed say to the one who formed it, 'Why did you make me like this?'" God knew what he was doing when he created you. He knew. He gave you the right IQ. He gave you the right personality. He gave you the right temperament. But people have been trying to mold you and break you and form you into something else. That's what's happening, is that the devil has been trying to steal your identity since the day you were born, to try to make you believe that you're something else, that you're not good enough, that you're not smart enough, that you're not beautiful enough, that no one's going to marry you, that no one's going to love you, that your wife is going to leave you, that you'll never be a good business person. And those are the lies. The devil is a liar. And if you start believing the lies, you'll never fulfill your purpose. Yes, get educated, get trained, but don't despise what God created in you. Don't throw away what God put in you. And the greatest discovery maybe that you'll make is to get close to God and figure out exactly the thing that he put in you, the secrets that he put into your heart, the secret talents. Stop living someone else's life and start figuring out your own destiny and the secrets that God put in you. And when that happens, this church is going to explode, I guarantee you. If every one of us knew their purpose and knew their gift and operated in it, without fear, without questioning, it would blow up, brothers and sisters. But we live in identity crisis. The other thing is that if you know who you are and you stop defining yourself by other people and what they say, you won't need as much counseling, you won't need as much therapy, or you won't be jealous of other people because you know who you are. God is telling a unique story with your life. If we seek to figure it out, what our life story is all about, we may be able to put the missing pieces back in place. Figure out what's driving us. Figure out why we're going crazy sometimes. What are the missing pieces? But we need to know the story that God is telling with our lives. Figure that out. And stop being defined by your failures. The second problem is not just that we're defined by people and others, we're defined by our past and by failures. Newsflash, everyone has failed. Everyone has messed up. Everyone has wandered up into the dark for a season. But the devil is a liar. And one of the ways he tries to rob you of your destiny is to keep you in the past, to remind you of your slip-ups, to remind you of who you are, your past sins. That's one of the techniques the devil uses. But your past is under the blood of Jesus. We sang there is power in the blood. There is power in the blood of Jesus. There is power to cover your past. There is power to cover your sins, your slip-ups, your darkness. Do not be defined by your past. God is not surprised by your weakness. He's not surprised. And it's not your weaknesses that abort your mission. It's how you think about those weaknesses. If you believe that your weaknesses can abort your mission, and you live in agreement with that lie, then you will fail. But if you believe that nothing can stop God's purpose in your life, you will succeed. Nothing can stop God's purpose in your life unless you start agreeing with the lies. You start agreeing with the lies, and first it comes as a little lie, and it gets bigger and bigger until the devil says you're worthless. You're not worth living. But it's Jesus who comes. And I love the beautiful interaction. I love it that it's Peter. I love it that it's Peter who says, who answers, who says, "It is, you are the Christ." And the others are giving different answers, right? And it's Peter because we know that it's Peter who is going to deny Christ, right? And Peter who says, "You are the Son of God, the Son of the living God," finds himself after Jesus has been arrested, a denier. He finds himself down at the ladder. He's at the top, and now he's at the bottom. But brothers and sisters, Jesus is not the man at the top of the ladder. Jesus is the man at the bottom that is there to catch you when you fall. That's who Jesus is. He had an idea of the Son of God, but he didn't know who Jesus really was. The only revelation, the true revelation of Jesus for Peter was when he was down at the bottom, and it was Jesus who picked him up. And that's who Jesus is. And I say to you tonight that if you want to be defined by anybody, be defined by Jesus. When your identity is found in Christ, your identity never changes. You are always a child of God. Always a child of God. You know, we read the Bible and we think the Bible's about us, about our victory, about our life, our triumph, our faith, our holiness, our godliness. But if your identity is firmly anchored in Jesus, you'll know that it's about his accomplishment. It's about his victory. It's about his strength, not yours. It's about his performance, not yours. It's about his victory, not yours. It's about what he did for you. What we do is important. I'm not saying, don't get me wrong, what we do is important, but not as important as what Jesus did for us. Tonight, I don't know what identity crisis you are fighting with. I don't know if you know who you are, but I know that there's power in the blood. There's power in the blood. Luciana, if you don't mind, I love that song and the way we sang it tonight. We sang it together as a church, old and young, because we all knew it, and it's a powerful song. And I want to close tonight with singing this song, and I want to ask you, if you feel that you need a new identity or to find your way, tonight here, there's power in the blood. There's power to heal your broken heart. There's power to heal your sickness. There's power to heal your family. There's power to heal your finances and to give you a new purpose. You've been searching for purpose for so long. You've been praying for God to show you a way. You don't know where you are and you don't know what you're doing with your life. And some of you are in a dark place tonight, thinking, what's going to happen next week? What's going to happen a month from now? How am I going to pay my bills? What am I going to do at school? How am I going to pass that test? How am I going to live to tell another day to see the sunrise again? Tonight is the night when the blood of Jesus can cover you. There's power in the blood. Would you believe it tonight with me? Would you stand with me and declare together as the worship group comes up? Let's declare there is power in the blood of Jesus. And when you declare that there is power in the blood of Jesus, you're also making a declaration saying, I am not powerful. I am weak. I am weak. And that's okay because he is strong. I am weak, but he is strong. It's not my victory, it's his victory that won the battle. There is power in the blood of Jesus.